May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. We've been talking about the grace of God, and we'll continue to do that. Again, too many Christians think of God's grace as some principle, as a disposition. Unconditional favor, basically a disposition, but favor is also an action. And it is the unconditional attitude of love and unconditional acceptance. That's just part of the grace. There's the unconditional favor, all kinds of things. Grace can't be separated from his person. That's why often the scripture talks about, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Because it's part of his person. It's just his attitude of unconditional acceptance and his attitude of free, unconditional favor, his activity, his actions. Again, don't think of grace as a principle that he throws at you or he operates by. It's more than a principle. It's the stuff by which the person, Jesus, functions. It's the attitude from which he functions and all the different things that are his functions. So if he strengthens you to do something, he's just giving you the grace of strength. It's not something that you earned. It's something that you receive by faith. One of the things I love that the Lord's been speaking a lot to me lately is that the Christian life, where the Christian life begins, is where he finished. Jesus said on the cross, it's finished. He accomplished everything for you and for me. And we start from a finished place. Now hear that. Christianity starts from a finished place. And so you have everything that Christ is and has because he accomplished it for us at the cross. When Mephibosheth was brought into David's presence, he said, I'm going to show you kindness, the kindness of God, for the sake of your father, Jonathan. And it was because of what Jonathan had done, the life that he lived, and because he was in covenant with David and the death that he died, that Mephibosheth, his offspring, being in his father, Jonathan, he got to experience all the blessing, all the favor of David. He got everything that Jonathan earned, everything that Jonathan attained, everything that Jonathan deserved. It was already done. It was waiting for Mephibosheth to show up and appropriate it. That's the Christian life. We start from a place called it is finished. And so everything that Christ has and everything that Christ does that flows from an attitude of grace, all those graces that are in Jesus are all yours because of what he's already done. And our role is to appropriate. As the Holy Spirit unfolds to us new riches that are already ours in Christ, we simply appropriate those riches. We possess our possessions. That's the whole book of Joshua. And so when it says in the Psalm, I think it's 101 or 103, talking about Moses and Israel, it says that Israel understood God's acts. But Moses understood God's ways. And that is the most important starting place of all, that we understand the ways of God. And the ways of God, first and foremost, foundationally, is that he is in relationship with us by grace. It starts with grace, it continues in grace, and it finishes in grace. Amen? And so when it says in 2 Corinthians, Chapter 10, he says, our weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses, strongholds of thinking, which can contain demonic presence. We are destroying speculations, conclusions, deductions, reasonings, of every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so the real warfare, as we said over the years, is between your two ears. And the enemy's always trying to get you to think and to believe, therefore, based on things that are raised up against the knowledge of God, the truth about God. And the truth is, we live by grace. The enemy would like to tell us we have to earn, we have to deserve, we have to work to get to a place where Jesus says, no, you start from a place that's already done, now you work. You don't go to get it, you get it, so go. You don't go to get it, you got it, so go. That's a totally different worldview. And the enemy hates grace. He fights against grace. He tries to pervert grace. He wants to destroy grace. He wants people to be afraid of grace. It says in Titus, the pages are old and they're hard to turn. Kind of like me. And Titus says this, for the grace of God has appeared to all men, bringing salvation. And this grace instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly and righteously and godly in the present age. That's what grace does. Grace is the only thing that gives us a shot at it. Grace is the only thing that gives us hope. The Christian life's impossible without grace. It's the free, undeserved, favorable activity of Jesus on our behalf. And we got it all. Because Jesus said it's finished. It was all done. So this is the scripture I want us to go back and look at again. I want to show you one thing. This is what we've been talking about a lot over the last month. We'll continue to talk about again. Let me just read to you the way it should be translated, the language, the grammar. And the God who's infinitely able, abounded. The word abounded means above and beyond. Again, and doesn't mean that God wants you to squeak by. He wants you to be an overwhelming conqueror in life. For if by the transgressions of the one, Satan, or Adam, for if by the transgressions of the one, death reigned to the one, much more. Those who are receiving the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. Don't survive life. Don't struggle through life. Don't squeak by in life. Aren't up and down in life. They're reigning in this life through a person, Jesus, who's full of grace. And so he says, and the God who is able, who's infinitely able, abounded already all grace to you, that always having, right now, this moment, whatever you're dealing with, all sufficiency in everything. If what you're dealing with comes under the category of everything, then it fits here. So that you may, above and beyond, be victorious above and beyond everything you put your hand to. But listen to the scripture. Verse 14. While they also, by prayer on your behalf, yearn for you because of the surpassing grace of God in you. So let me do this one little thing. It's a grammar lesson, but bear with me. Grammar is important to the Lord. He wrote, the Holy Spirit penned the Old Testament in Hebrew, because Hebrew is a language of poetry and song. It's mainly about worship. He penned the New Testament in Greek because it's technical, theology, little details are important to the Lord. And he chose that language in person, on person. He didn't do Southern. Thank God. So here's a word. This word, surpassing grace of God, that's in you. In you. Not just for you, but in you. The word Satan, another name for Satan is what? The class. The devil. And the word devil comes from two words. One's the word bolos, which means to throw, like to throw a ball. Bolos. The other word's dia, which means over or through. It means the devil's job is to deceive you or to do things to you, to throw you over. Or to throw you over on your back, like a wrestling match. To just throw one over you so that you're deceived and about throwing you on your back. Diabolos, diabolos. But the word surpassing here is also the word bolos, to throw. But the word in front of it is hyper, huper, the word we get hyper. And it means to throw farther and beyond anything else. So whatever the devil throws you down over, whatever it is he's trying to accomplish in you, whatever sin or whatever situation or circumstance, that he's kind of thrown you over. You need to understand that the grace of God that's in you surpasses all that, throws you farther beyond the enemy's reach. That's why language is important. You see, I was thinking about Kelly. I was getting these tests again. Let me just say something to you. Cancer is a curse from the devil. Now, if every person I pray for who has cancer goes to be with the Lord Jesus, we're going to keep fighting for the truth. Because it's the truth that sets us free. The surpassing grace of God, it surpasses anything the devil can do. God's grace surpasses sin's power. It surpasses anything the enemy can do. It surpasses any sickness. It surpasses it. He uses that word on purpose. Why does he do that? The surpassing grace of God in you. Because he wants you to understand that whatever you face right now, the grace of Jesus goes beyond it. It's so much bigger. It's hyper powerful compared to whatever it is you're dealing with. Amen? So that grace that you have right now in the person of Jesus in you right now surpasses anything. Well, how do you experience grace? You beg him for it. Oh, I hope it works. I hope things turn out better. Now, how did you get grace to get saved? By grace, you're saved through what?
Faith.
Faith. It says in Romans 4, if it's not a faith, it can't be grace. They go together. In you right now is the surpassing grace of God in light of anything the devil is trying to throw over on you. Why don't you thank him for it? Like we said Monday, instead of believing that he can, why don't you start trusting him that he is? Or did you get saved when you prayed the prayer 20 years ago or 5 years ago? Are you still praying? Gosh, I hope I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. I hope I'm saved. Please save me, save me, save me. At some point, you had to stop and say thank you that you don't lie and you honor your word. And when you knocked on the door of my heart and I said, came in, you actually came in. I don't care how I feel. It's true. That's the same way the whole Christian life's lived. Amen? We'll talk about this some more for CTKers tonight. Lord, just seal your word. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.